That's a definitive argument. Or at least that question is still open.
Further discussion?
Mr.
Senator Yee.
I'm not going to support the bill, but I do want to appreciate, I do want to express appreciation for the subcommittee chair yesterday taking time to address Liz Van Leeuwen's concern. She's satisfied now that AG's office stated on the record that they're not going to actively search those people who violated the raffle game situation. And they will spend time in writing rules for implementation by January 1, '88. So
I end up doing that all the
time. Just want to express appreciation for that.
Okay, call the roll.
Senators Roberts.
No.
Hannon.
Aye.
Tro.
No.
Wires.
No.
Yee.
No.
Kerens.
No.
Thorne.
Aye.
Representative Van Vliet.
Aye.
Kahneman.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Mason.
No.
McCracken.
Aye.
Kopetsky.
Aye.
Presiding Chair.
Aye.
Meeker.
Aye.
9 ayes.
Senate 404 will pass the House. Senate do pass. Senate Bill 603. Representative McCracken, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 603 relates to the Oregon Reinvestment Account for Schools. The bill establishes a trust fund separate from the general fund titled the Oregon Reinvestment Account. The committee learned that the bill may be desired as one of the possible features of school finance reform. It is not funded and does not identify a source of funds. The bill provides only for the allocation of investment earnings and retains the corpus as a trust. Earnings are allocated to local schools through the Basic School Support Fund as a property tax offset. None of the allocations are to be used for program enhancement. And the subcommittee recommends your approval.
Further discussion? Is there any opposition to sending this bill to the Senate? Two pass. Hearing no opposition, it will be done unanimously. Oh, okay. Senator Yee, for the record. It'll be sent to the Senate for a due pass. Senate Bill 1034. Representative McCracken, again, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Senate Bill 1034 represents the second step in the total reorganization of the Department of Commerce. The first step was the establishment of the Department of Insurance and Finance through House Bill 3381. The measure creates a Building, Housing, and Real Estate Council composed of the administrators of the building codes and housing agencies and the commissioner of the real estate agency. The governor shall appoint one of the council members to serve as chairman of the council, subject to Senate confirmation. The following boards, while not part of the council, report to the governor through the chairman of the council: State Board of Architect Examiners, State Landscape Contractors Board, State Landscaped Architect Board, State Board of Engineering Examiners, State Board of Geologist Examiners, and the Builders Board. The Council's function with respect to these boards is to foster cooperation and communication among the boards and the Council. Other parts of the organization included the establishment of the State Fire Marshal as a division within the Executive Department, transfer of the Television and Radio Service Advisory Board to the Bureau of Labor and Industries, transfer of the Board of Barber and Hairdressers to the Health Division, transfer of the Board of Maritime Pilots to the Department of Transportation, and transfer of the Board of Accountancy, Board of Tax Service Examiners, and Business Registry Regulation to the Secretary of State. The subcommittee amended the measure to achieve the following purposes: one, to clarify the powers and functions of the Builders Board as it exists within the umbrella of the Building, Housing, and Real Estate Council; to remove the option for a builder to post a deposit rather than a surety bond as a condition of registration; three, to permit the Building Codes Agency to delegate its responsibilities relating to recreational parks and picnic areas to county government if requested; four, to require the Interagency Hazardous Communication Council to study the operation of all emergency services and emergency response activities and present a comprehensive plan for continuing such activities to the 65th Legislative Assembly. That relates to the fire marshal and the relation with the Emergency Management Division with an executive department. It was controversial in the Senate. We think we worked it out. That transfers $250,000 in excess revenues from the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers to the State Scholarship Commission for expansion of an existing industry scholarship program. And six, to make counties responsible for the payment of workers' compensation insurance coverage for all county employees. Seven, to exempt the insurance guarantee fund from liability for losses resulting from the investment of pension plans or profit-sharing plans by the trustees of such funds. This amendment does not diminish the guarantee for any annuity, contract, or policy owned by an individual. And ninth, or eighth and last, to add the expenditure limitations and a general fund appropriation necessary to effect the reorganization of the Department of Commerce. When compared to the staff and expenditures previously approved for the department, this reorganization package results in a reduction of 21.6 FTE and a savings of $3.9 million in other funds expenditures and $166,000 in general funds. This is the second time your public safety subcommittee has worked through the Department of Commerce, having originally gone through all of those boards and commissions and adopted it. We'd really appreciate your approval of this, our last, hopefully, effort at it. And there was an amendment that related to professional groups requiring membership for malpractice insurance, which we discussed on Saturday, and we removed that, so it's not here.
Further debate? Senator Wires.
On a different subject than the last, the barbers and hairdressers, you mentioned in your carrying speech just now that some of the money mm-hmm. that in their surplus account, although that surplus may not be the right word, has been transferred to their scholarship program, mm-hmm. which is something that's been done before in our favor. There was a inquiry made that from a lobbyist about doing some other stuff with that money, and I haven't had an opportunity to really discuss this with the chair since it was amended. I'm wondering, is that the only place any of the barbers and hairdressers money has been sent in this bill is to that scholarship?
Yes.
Thank you. I support that. Thank you.
Okay. Senator Trill, discussion?
I think last session we established that scholarship fund. Did you get any report on how it's doing, what kind of scholarships are giving, who's getting them, anything like that?
We did not exhaustively review the program. The representative from the Barbers and Hairdressers Association informs us that it was a program that was working well and was well supported by the board. One of the reasons for the transfer, very frankly, was that they were concerned that when the agency is transferred into the health division, knowing the health division's hunger for funds from licensing boards, that they might steal it. And so this is a way to protect it.
Further discussion. Any objections sending Senate Bill 1034 to the Senate with a due pass recommendation? Hearing no objection, will be done unanimously. Senate Bill 1041, Senator Thorne.
Carry the water.
The water bucket passed. Gilmore signed this to me. I'm not offering.
Gilmore signed it.
The report so states. Chairman, Senate Bill 1041 amends existing statutes regarding the authority of General Services and the Capital Planning Commission as it relates to the acquisition and remodeling, in addition to construction of an executive residence. The amendments continuously appropriate to the account without limitation in order that gifts and donations may be expended when the provisions of the statute are met. In another way, Mr. Chairman, I would say that we presently allow for a state executive residence. This would allow the regulating authority to receive by the property as well as the ability to receive the gifts of remodeling and the maintenance would be able to receive the maintenance for the for whatever it may be, in this case it intended to be the executive residence. I urge your support.
Further discussion.
Is this the governor's mansion?
It's already passed the Senate.
Any objections?
I object.
For the record, Senator Kerins and Representative Kopetsky.
Here's the...
Any changes in those objections?
What have you done with Frank Roberts?
Okay.
I was called. I'm innocent, Jim.
For the record, two of the supporters on the end identified as Senator Kerins and Representative Kopetsky. Other than that, the bill goes forward. The next bill is House Bill 2349. He didn't know.
He didn't.
He didn't know.
He does know.
He thought it was his budget.
Representative Kopetsky, are you ready on the next bill, please?
Yes.
2349.
I want to talk to you in a few minutes.
House Bill 2349 addresses the issue of financing the cost of the Motor Vehicle Division to furnish records to district attorneys for prosecution of driving while suspended or without charges. The current law allows the imposition of a $5 fee on conviction of these charges with authority to bill district attorneys if monies in the fee account are insufficient. Billings have been made to DAs and several counties have refused payment and have threatened to stop prosecuting these cases if the records are not furnished. As amended, House Bill 2349 increases the conviction fee to $15 and deletes the provision to allow motor vehicle divisions to charge DA. Committee understands that those counties with accounts payable will become current in support of this future relief. Committee also is aware that House Bill 2070, the uniform... House Bill 2087, the Uniform Assessment and Distribution Bill, will repeal this fee section effective July 1, 1989. Therefore, the 1989 Legislative Assembly will have to act again to remedy this situation, assuming it recurs. Urge your yes vote.
Thank you very much. Is there further discussion?
We haven't heard.
Is there an opposition to this? Hearing none, 2349 will report as amended to the House to pass. 3163, again, Representative Kopetsky, please.
I just had this bill this morning, Mr. Co-Chair. It was amended by the House the Human Resources Subcommittee. Provides that when an approved in-home care provider is providing care to a recipient of public assistance and marries the recipient, the payment for that service will continue to be paid at the standard rate of any other approved provider. Currently, spousal pay is about $280 per month lower than a non-spousal live-in. The measure allows for those persons married on or after July 1, 1980 to be entitled to the enhanced payments upon the effective date of the Act. The Senior Services Division estimates that five couples are either currently eligible or will become eligible at a general fund cost of $15,000 for the 87-89 biennium. If the division determines that the cost cannot be absorbed within their existing budget, the division will present a request for supplemental funding to the emergency board. I ask for your yes vote.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, excuse me.
Serve notices.
Serve notice of what?
Possible change of those upstairs when I get a chance to look at it.
Yeah. So noted. Anybody in opposition? Or this going to the House? Hearing no opposition, House Bill 3163 as amended will go to the House. House Bill 3379, Senator Thorne, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 3379 creates an 11-member Governor's Commission on School Funding Reform. The members would include the President of the Senate, the Speaker of the House, the minority leaders of the Senate and the House, and seven public members appointed by the Governor. Commitment to this comprehensive study of school funding proposals were made during the campaign for passage of the school safety net. The subcommittee amended the bill to provide $123,757 to fund the activity of the commission. Urge your support.
Representative Hanneman, first.
I didn't recognize this item from our description here. I thought that this was the alternate basic school support fund if the other one fails.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman,
we'll have to cross that bridge.
Was there a good reason why the interim committees on education could not do the same job with people being invited into that particular body?
Mr. Chairman, I'll try to answer the question. I believe that since there has been preference, I guess, expressed by the presiding officers that that interim committee activities wait until they have a chance to make those decisions. We're not aware of what interim committees will be activated. So in order to get this job done, it seemed as though we needed to go directly to this this route. We're providing funding for the study group.
I have a plan I'll sell for $120,000.
Senator Cairns and then Senator Trull.
Yes, and ask the general government co-chair. I apologize. I didn't get notice of yesterday morning's meeting, so I wasn't there to move. Was my proposed amendment discussed, or was that simply?
It was not moved on.
It was not moved.
That's an honest opinion.
All right. Thank you.
It was not necessarily because you weren't there.
No, I understand.
I'm sure if you were there, we would have had a motion to move on it.
It may not have gone anywhere.
That's an honest answer. Yes.
Yeah, I understand that.
Okay, Senator Trull.
It would seem to me that this kind of operation would be funded within the newly constituted Office of Educational Policy and Planning. There's lots of FTE there. There's $1 million there. It looks to me like that somehow or other, much of the expense of this could somehow or other have been done through that new creation. Since, you know, we're really spending a lot of money. We asked for a legislative education office out of some of that, and that office certainly could have carried on the study. It could have been in existence. But it seems like that there's a lot of money being channeled into education for various studies with various groups constituted. I still don't know for sure what the Office of Education Policy and Planning is really going to be doing, and surely it would have time to do the basis of this kind of study. It's how many? 9 FTE and $1 million there?
In closing,
Mr. Chairman, I understand the point that's being made, and it's well taken. I guess the fact still remains that this study is aimed at one specific purpose, and that's school finance reform. Now, it's related to education, to say the least. However, one could also argue the point, I think, with credibility that it also takes on another perspective, and that is the whole structure of finance, which includes our property tax system. And I think the desire is to try to bring into the picture, at least that's my understanding, a group of public members that would essentially have the major influence on the commission and or the study group, and bring to the legislature hopefully something that we can hang our hat on when we deal with school funding next session. So I see it as going a bit beyond the narrow focus of just education, and one that has to deal with a larger question of funding for government operations, because clearly school finance is going to impact, our decisions are going to impact all elements of local government funding.
Mr. Chair,
we're almost there.
I don't disagree with that the study is needed, but it does seem to me like that we have a committee called Revenue and School Finance, which has a staff and which is charged with doing this kind of research anyway. And then we have this Educational Policy and Planning group. And all I'm saying is that if the subcommittee had maybe been able to think ahead, it probably could have reduced the cost of this $123,000 or whatever it is, additional dollars, by utilizing some of the existing resources. That's all I'm saying.
Rick, I think we'll probably call on the roll.
Senator Roberts.
Aye.
Hannon.
Aye.
Trow.
No.
Wires.
Yees.
No.
Karens.
Aye.
Thorne.
Aye.
Representatives Van Vliet.
No.
Hanneman.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Mason.
Aye.
McCracken.
Aye.
Kopensky.
Nope.
Presiding Chair.
Aye. And 3379 shall report to the House do pass.
Chairman, I just want to explain my vote. I was very reluctant vote for the very reasons here that Senator Trow gave. I just don't know what we're using our research funds for. If we eventually get to something like this, we have to fund another one.
Mr. Chairman, what was the count on that?
Nine ayes.
What subcommittees will be meeting and when?
Mr. Chairman.
No?
One at a time. Subcommittee action?
Yes, what subcommittee are scheduled?
Public safety right now, until they come and physically drag us out.
Yeah, it's got one issue left.
Mason?
Well, I just, I really want to join Senator Thorne and Senator Trow. I was 9 votes, so I'm not going to rock any votes, but I think they were right on.
Yeah, same here.
Thank you. We'll meet on call. How about that?
Very good.
Joint Ways and Means, Full Committee, Friday, June 26, 1987. Hearing Room F, 1 o'clock p.m., Senator Thorne presiding.
Let's convene our afternoon Full Ways and Means Committee meeting. The items on the agenda begin with Senate Bill 995. Senator Wires, would you carry that for us, please?
Senate Bill 995?
That's correct.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Apologize for being inattentive here. Okay. Senate Bill 995 creates the Advisory Council to the Health Division for electrologists. There is an increasing concern among healthcare professionals regarding the potential for transmission of diseases through the reuse of instruments which make contact blood. This bill requires electrologists to be licensed by the Health Division. They must keep their instruments sterilized, maintain case history records of clients, and participate in continuing education. The Health Division has the authority to inspect the facilities of persons who practice electrolysis and to suspend or revoke licenses when appropriate. And other funds expenditure limitation of $46,082 was established, and a fee schedule was adopted which will enable the division to administer the regulatory program created by this act. We have also taken action to specifically, there's an exemption in here now for licensed physicians, and that's been further clarified to say that includes medical people in the healing arts whose scope of practice already includes this and is covered by the regulation of their already existing licensing boards.
Discussion. Representative Gilmore.
Yes. We have the amendments in front of us. I would ask everybody to look at them. The question to the carrier is that these amendments in reference to position on line one only refer to process of electrolysis.
Correct.
Correct.
Correct. This is a definition from the first page of the bill.
Right.
And positions are mentioned so they can be cross-referenced later in the bill to say, with the intention of it being to make clear that if you're already a physician performing a healing art, such as MD, chiropractor, naturopath, and your licensing board is already inspecting you and dictating that you follow careful, healthy, sterile procedures in dealing with electrolysis, that this bill does not then sweep you into a new regulatory scheme that is only directed for electrologists.
Okay.
And the electrologists are here asking for this bill, and we're making this clarification to show that we haven't brought others in that don't need additional regulation.
And I guess my question to follow up would be that we're not only making it for electrolysis, but we're not also broadening other scopes and other areas that a physician as defined in other areas in the statute, what physician is described as.
No, this is a very tightly contained idea here.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
It's in a sack almost as small
okay,
as
okay, this, since this is just defining physician, why was medicine by the Board of Medical Examiners for the Healing Arts bracketed out then, since you're just defining physician for the statute?
We're bracketing out medicine by the Board of Medical Examiners so we can put in its place the Healing Arts and then make reference to the sections. 677 is the chapter that deals with the Board of Medical Examiners. 684 and 685 deal with the boards of naturopathy and chiropractic. So we're deleting the direct reference to the Board of Medical Examiners and making a definition that will cover the three groups.
Yeah, three groups.
I think it would be important for the sake of the full everyone's knowledge to realize that the amendment, although it's on a separate sheet of paper, the understanding is that that was an amendment made in the subcommittee, and we're not asking the full committee to amend the amended version of the bill.
That's correct.
Had that been the case, as you all know, we would have had to send the bill back to committee. We're not asking for an amendment, but apparently the amendment was not included in the LC amendments because of time.
And be so very precise, there'll be LC amendments prepared very soon, but the concept will be the one that's here.
I think it would be important for the members to then look at the first page of the amendments and maybe take a moment and make sure you hand engrossed the
they're behind the agenda
the amendments so that we in fact see how that flows in the bill. The amendment that was made in the committee then on line 24 of the Senate Bill 995A-4 LC 2676 amendments, we would delete the word medicine on line 24, then deleting line 25 up to and including the word for, and then inserting the new language, the healing arts, continuing with the existing language, and then on line 26 add chapter 684 and 685. Make it clear we are not amending the bill in committee, we're simply clarifying the action taken in the subcommittee. Now, further discussion on the proposal, Senator Roberts.
Mr. Chairman, I just so that the record is clear on this and the effect of the amendment, on page 2 of the amendments, line 9 is the, starting on line 9, is the use of the word physician, which says this act does not prevent or affect the use of electrolysis by a physician, person under the control, and so forth. So it says this act does not prevent or affect, and I think that has to be interpreted that it doesn't change anything with reference to the scope of practice of these people. If it's in their scope of practice, they could do it. If it was outside their scope of practice, they couldn't do it.
I think that's the important point. That's the important thing.
Yeah. Okay. Before us then, if there's no further discussion, is Senator Wire's motion that Senate Bill 995 be sent to the floor of the Senate as amended. Is there objection to that motion? Hearing none, so ordered. Next item on the agenda is House Bill 2267 relating to medical records. Senator Terrence.
Mr. Chairman and members, existing law states as a general policy that patients should have access to their medical records. This measure sets forth specific procedures for obtaining those records. It also assures that patients who are hospitalized may obtain written information on alternative sources of medical supplies and equipment. Availability of this information may reduce patient medical costs. Finally, the bill authorizes the Department of Justice to obtain medical records necessary to defend the state or state employees against lawsuits. I'd recommend its adoption.
Is there discussion on Senator Karen's motion on House Bill 2267? Is there objection to Senator Karen's motion that House Bill 2267, as amended, report to the floor of the Senate with a due pass? Hearing none, so ordered. Next is an item that was before us once. It's back again, re-amended, Senate Joint Resolution 17, Senator Karen's.
Mr. Chairman and members, here we are seeing the an amended, be engrossed, Senate Joint Resolution. It has been amended as a result of a compromise between the powers that be, between the executive and legislative branches, and comes before you again as amended by the committee to create a governor's task force on disability services to consider implementation of a Department of Disability Services or some other system of improving services to disabled persons. A written report must be submitted to the governor and the 65th Legislative Assembly. The resolution would allow for up to, those are the key words, up to $50,000 to be expended from funds available to the Department of Human Resources within their existing 1987-89 legislation.